Everywhere I go, folks struggle with sin. I want you to listen to the words of this song. Did you have a good day? Happened so long ago, I cried out for mercy then. I pled the blood of Jesus, begged him to forgive my sin. But I still can't forget it, it just won't go away. So I wept again, Lord, wash my sin. But this is all he'd say. Don't it? Sounds too simple. Don't sound quite right. That sounds, we talked about yesterday morning, amazing grace. Kind of absurd sounding, amen? How in the world could God forgive me of my sin, knowing my sin? Hello? Don't look at me spiritual, amen? Some of y'all know what y'all do. Hello? And it just sounds like, now wait a minute, it just can't be that easy. It just can't be so simple that you just confess your sin and God forgives you of your sin and it's done. Well, if you don't believe that, you don't believe this book. Because this book says it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, boy. Shoo! I got an eye-opening tongue lashing today, boy. I tell you right now, about a 22, 3-year-old girl. She got me, boy. I ain't lying. She, woo! She works at the bank. And I have been trying to get an opportunity to just talk to her a little bit about Christ. And so I've been kind of milking that thing a little bit, you know, talk a little bit here, talk a little bit there. And then she's the teller. And then she got moved. I thought, oh, no. Come on, Satan. I know what you're up to. He moved her. What did I do to that thing, man? Did I broke it? I sure did, man. Matt, come here and fix that thing, son. I finally walked in. I've been going in, and of course, since she got moved across the hall, so I just go in there where she's at. And lo and behold, nobody else is in there today. I thought, what a quinky dance. And I started talking to her. And I asked her, I said, where you go to church? She said, well, right now I haven't found a church. I was going to a church in Yulee, Florida, and she said, I live in Camden. I'm not going. And so we began to talk. Now, this chick has been in church all her life. And she has been indoctrinated into the Southern Baptist world, which we're in. And I'm going to tell you right now, she looked at me and she began to tell me about her brother pastor and her cousin deacon and what hypocrites they are, because they teach one thing and they believe something else, or they say one thing and they live another way. And I'm just sitting there going, And I finally had to just agree with her and say, yeah, honey, I know. I said, but let me explain something to you. He said, I'm a hypocrite, so are you. I say one thing and do another sometimes. Amen, amen. Hey, come on. I don't care. I hear people, I ain't going down that church with a hypocrite. So I say, what you going to do, go home with them? Because you is one, amen. I'm sorry, but we're hypocrites. Don't tell me you come in here and praise the Lord and shout in glory and you walk out there and you go do it in a Jiffy store. No, you don't. You scare somebody to death. Listen, we used to have a prayer study with the teenagers at McDonald's. There'd be 50 youngins in that place, and we'd have it all filled up. I kid you not. People come in that back door, and they'd walk in, they see them kids praying, they go. And then they start doing this like they're in a minefield. And I'd be like, and they're going, I think they're afraid they're going to get some of it on them. Amen. I'm going to tell you. And, of course, you go into that store tomorrow, or you go into McDonald's in the morning, start talking about them bulldogs, or talk about the whoever, and boy, about it, yeah, and you say, Jesus, people start diving under chairs. Is he crazy? Has he got a gun? Trust me, if there's a long line, just start talking about Jesus out loud. It'll thin out. I promise you. You ain't got to say fire. All you got to do is say Jesus. And so she, and I'm going to tell you something, okay? I want you to understand something. Our teenagers and our young adults, college, are leaving church to go to college, and they are not coming back in droves. Something is wrong. There is a disconnect between this book and their heart and the established church. And she began to tell me, she says, I believe in love. I believe in God. I believe in compassion. She said, but people in church don't go outside of those walls and do what they say they're doing in the church. And I found myself making excuses for the church. And I walked out of there thinking about what she had to say. I ain't kidding you. And I'm going to tell you something. I did not pick up from her a resentment or I'm better than him. It was a heartbreak from this youngin. I think she is absolutely seriously looking for something that will help her grow. She can't find it. Now, that's not saying that she can't do it on her own, because we can. Of course, you think about that. One of the things we've done is we put so much preeminence on Sunday that we don't do anything else the rest of the week. I mean, look around. Sunday morning, about couldn't get a seat, and look at here today. Come on. Man, let's face it, you bunch of folk, y'all were raised in an era when they said church, you go to church. This bunch is at the gym, they at the field, they at the Target, they're anywhere but the church. It's not that big a deal to them. And this is what we're facing. And it's sad, but the fact of the matter is that we have got to find a way. Okay, let me tell you what one of her beasts were. She said, you know, for instance, she just uses as an example, she's a homosexuality. She said, it's a big deal at my brother's church to slam the homos but yet not say anything about the liars and the cheaters and the gossipers and those people. And I thought, ooh, preach, girl. I should have got my phone. I said, go ahead, I'll say that again. I'm going to take us around all over America, parts of Georgia. Now, guys, if a 20-year-old youngin' can get it, can understand that, then what's wrong with us? What has happened to the church? We have done everything we do inside these walls, and if it ain't outside these walls, we not interested. And that's not coming from the pastor. That's evident from the congregations. Now, I didn't come to get all over you, but I'm going to tell you something. I didn't go down there. I just went in there to say, hey, girl, how you doing? And boy, here we got to talking about church. And it was like, excuse me. I should have said, do you go to any bars? Maybe she'd have liked those. I don't know. You know, things can happen, and you just don't know how it's going to turn out sometimes. I don't know if you heard about the Fed. Of course, you know, she talked about folk in church as being ornery. And I thought, no, there ain't no ornery folk in church. Go on a Wednesday night to the business meeting, amen? There ain't no ornery folk in church. Come on, girl. I heard about the man who had a wife, and he got up one morning, and he's eating breakfast, and she come in there, and she was mad at him. And she was, and he ain't said a word. He just eating. And she was in this here, and then she'd go around and say she was in this here, and he ain't said a word. That's a good thing, it fellas. Hello. He put his dishes up, headed out the door. She's right behind him. He went out to the mule pen. He got at the mule pen. She climbed in there. He's walking around feeding the mule, taking care of the mule, and doing all that. She's right behind him. She ain't hushed. Finally, she kind of got around the backside of that mule, and that mule kicked her in the head and killed her graveyard dead. So they got her up at the funeral home. She's in this beautiful red dress, and he's in his best overalls, and he's standing at the head of the casket. And all of the people are coming by, and they're crying. And the women would come by, and they'd say, in his ear, and he'd go. And the men would come by, and they'd go, and he'd say. And so this went on and on and on. And finally, the funeral home guy couldn't stand it no more, amen? He said, come here, Mr. Brown, come here, I want to talk to you. He said, what's up? He said, the women are coming by and whispering in your ear, and you go, mm-hmm. And he said, then the men come by and whisper, and you go, mm-mm. He said, what are they saying to you? He said, oh. He said, the women are coming by and say, isn't she beautiful in that pretty red dress? Mm-hmm. And the men come by and say, you won't sell that mule? Now, fellas, don't laugh too loud. Now you're going to get in trouble. Some folk just ornery, amen? Some folk just can't help it. And let me tell you where a bunch of them are. They're down at the church. And, you know, I know we've just come out of the resurrection season, and I know that Brother Steve has probably preached on that in the last few weeks, but for some reason, God wants me to talk about the resurrection. Because I'm going to tell you something. Regardless of if you're ornery or if you're not, regardless if you're doing what you should be or if you're not, regardless if you believe in that book or if you don't, Jesus is coming again. And you had better get it straight. Because I'm telling you, my friend, this is not going to be something that you can, and that's what I told her. I said, honey, I understand what you're saying. I fully understand, but let me explain something to you. Whether I think you're right or whether you think you're right, the only thing that's really right is this. And I said, you probably wouldn't like it at my church. Because I'm going to tell you things that you're not going to like, but I'm going to tell you them out of this book. And it's not my deal for you to agree to this book. It is your deal to agree to that book. And I don't really think that she has a problem with that. I think she has a problem with the folk that say they believe this book. Whew. What an indictment. And so I got to looking at the stuff about the resurrection. We've done quite a series this past month, and I got some things here I found. It says in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is they are filled with promises of the second coming of Christ. I mean, in both areas, there are 1,845 references in the Old Testament alone, and a total of 17 books speak of it as well. Of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, there are 318 to Christ's second coming that talk about it. That's one out of every 30 verses talk about the second coming. I didn't realize that till I did this search. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to the second coming. That leaves four. They do not refer directly to the second coming, but three of those four books are single chapter books who were written to specific people on a specific subject. So I encourage you today, as we talk about this, to listen very carefully, because I'm going to explain something to you. If you don't have nothing else to talk to somebody about as it pertains to this Bible, my friend, you better let them know that the second coming is coming. And I know, I've heard it, I hear you subconsciously. Yeah, I've been hearing that all my life. Well, if you'll do the research on the prophecy, you'll discover that there were several things throughout the last 50, 60, 70 years that had not been accomplished, that had to be accomplished in order for us to get to the place where Christ does come. And you need to understand something. Those things have been accomplished. Now, I'll remind you of the where it talks about that when the two tribes come together, not one generation shall pass from that day. That was May, I believe, 1947, when the two tribes and the 10 tribes came back together under one flag in Israel. And my friend, the clock started. And the 70-year-olds are in that generation. And so when they're gone, it's time. Time. It's upon us. It is upon us. I got breaking news. Every night, man, I'm probably on y'all's TV. Breaking, you know, you can say it. Breaking news. Here it comes. Breaking news. Breaking news. Somebody been shot. Somebody been ran over. Somebody been robbed. I mean, every single night. I mean, breaking news. Jesus' tomb has been opened and he's not there. Woo! Breaking news. Now, I guarantee that confounded some folk. I mean, something odd has happened. I can hear him now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing in here in front of the tomb, and the tomb has been opened, and Jesus is gone. Something strange has happened here. Can you hear him? Amen. And the fact of the matter is, there ain't nothing strange about it. It's just what Jesus said would happen. You'll tear this building down. I'll raise it up in 3 days. I'm out of here. And that's exactly what happened. Think about it. Just days ago, before this event, he was in the garden of Gethsemane. He was praying. He had had the Lord's Supper with his disciples. He had told them what was going on. He explained to them in detail. My friend, this is not just some throw-together thing. It's not some story on TV. It is the literal verse-by-verse, event-by-event thing that Jesus said would happen, and it just happened like he said. Amen. And there are bunches of folk to tell you this book ain't true. They don't read it. People don't disbelieve the Bible because they researched it. They disbelieve it because they won't research it. I also don't believe that. Of course you don't. It flies in the face of your lifestyle, and you ain't about to read something that tells you to change. Come on, guys. Change is hard for us old folk. Amen. Don't look at me. I'm getting up there too. Hello. Amen. It's hard. I don't like change. Don't change nothing. Don't move my, who moved my cheese? Y'all read that book? Don't move my cheese. Don't move my clicker. Don't put my underwear in the wrong drawer. You know what I get when I say that? Put it there yourself. Yes, ma'am. Don't tell me you ain't heard that. Amen. The feast days are coming, so the garrison at that point in near the Garden of Gethsemane has been swelled. You've got, as I said yesterday, 1,000 men who have come to take, because all them Jewish folk are coming to town, and every time they come to town, them mean ornery jokers get into stuff, and they got to have soldiers to deal with it. So they got soldiers everywhere. And of course, they're looking for Jesus, and they're going through all these things, and you know about the fact that he's in the garden praying, and he shows up, and I talked about it yesterday, that he walks in and says, I am. The guys fall over backwards, but they arrest. And Peter said, it's amazing that they brought lanterns to arrest the light of the world. That's pretty good, amen. What y'all got light for? He's right over there. He probably didn't say over there, amen, but that's what it was. Eyewitnesses said that they had lanterns, they had torches, they had weapons. To arrest a single man? What's a bad dude right there, amen? They scared him. They scared. John said they came, as I said, to seek the light of the world with lanterns. It is said that Jesus went forward to meet them, as I said, and 200 of them guys fell over backwards. Well, he said, I am. Not just I am Jesus, but I am, or I am John. He just said, I am. Well, I ought to tell you something. When you study that and research that, my friend, that is the most emphatic, intense word that means exactly there is no other I am. I don't care what them boys on TV at the football game doing. They slang themselves around into the score a touchdown, which they should have done for $16 million. Come on. They're going to act like they did something. I tell my boys, listen, I got four state champs in Florida in a row on that football team. I got three at Charlton County in a row and three runner-ups. I've coached, well, I got a boy right now at Indianapolis who's on the special team. He's number 40. His name is Chris Milton. Look for him. And I tell him, I said, son, when you get to the end zone, act like you've been there. Don't act like you own Soul Train or something kicking all around. You just did your job. And that's what we do, ain't it? We get all jumping, bent out of shape because we just did our job. This is what God told us to do. It's a simple thing of just doing our job. So Jesus is arrested. He's bound. He's taken to Annas, and then who was the former high priest. Then he's taken to Caiaphas, who is his son-in-law, who is the present thing. And get this. I want you to listen to this. Caiaphas was the one man who was chosen to enter the temple once a year to interpret and represent the Most High God for the entire nation of Israel. This is the guy that they went to represent them to God. And he is about to be one of the key figures in the crucifixion of Almighty God. Now think on that. Chew on that a minute, amen? That's quite, you know, let me tell you that God got a sense of humor, amen? He's like, go ahead, son, do whatever you want to do. But understand, there's coming a day. Peter denies Christ for the first time. Jesus tells the truth, and he's slapped. If you read it, you'll find it. Peter denies Christ for the second, third time, and then Jesus is sent to Pilate. The civil trial starts after the religious trial is over. It's kind of not really the truth. I mean, it's stupid. It's interesting that these guys did not want to go into the house of Pilate because he's a Gentile dog. They don't want to go in his palace because he's a dog. But they don't mind killing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What in the world? That sounds like America. Sounds just like where we are. Man, we don't mind coming to church, but bless God, don't ask me to do nothing else after that. Now, come on. I'll come to church. That's a sacrifice. Again, I'm glad the offering ought to have been took. Ride in a car with air conditioning, with shocks and springs. You ain't riding no buggy. Amen? You ain't riding no horse. You don't smell like Canal number 5 instead of Chanel number whatever. I mean, come on. You sit in a comfortable. You know, I can tell, preacher, I am so sorry. Them blasted pew people did it again. They put them hard pews right up in the front and put all the soft ones in the back. See, look out there. They do it in every church I go to. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Put the hard ones in the back, put the soft ones up front. But they never do it. Never do it. Y'all, some of y'all are like, what is he talking about? It'll hit you tomorrow. And so many folk have heard Pilate say, I find no fault in Jesus. We talked about that yesterday. After Caiaphas gets you, they send him to Pilate. And Pilate don't want to have anything to do with this. And everybody knows this story, but he says, behold the man. He says, discourage him. They go through all of that stuff. He winds up at the cross. My friend, then Resurrection Sunday, the stone is wrong. I'm getting to my point here. I'm just kind of rushing through this for you. He's seen by countless eyewitnesses. Spoke, ate, drank with the disciples, gave them specific instructions, said they would be endued with power. I ain't sure they knew what that meant. Okay, I'm not sure they understood that. They're just like, okay. Kind of like on Sunday morning, like them little bobblehead things in the car. Listen, I've seen people dead asleep doing this. How can you be in a coma and do that? You ever seen them little babies do that and their heads flopping all around? That's what people, some folk in church. I don't know if you heard about the man that was deacon in the church. I'm going to get the deacons now, amen. Got the women a while ago, ladies. Go, here you go. Yeah, I'm going to get the deacons. He's a deacon, and every Sunday when that music had stopped, Brother Matt, he was singing, but when he got to sat down to do the preaching, he's snoring. Just embarrassed his wife. And so finally she went to the preacher. She said, "Preacher, I am so embarrassed. Every Sunday morning we get," he said, "I know, I hear you. Everybody hears you." She said, "What can I do?" He said, "I'll tell you what. You go get you a big old block of Limburger cheese. And you wrap it up in tinfoil. And when he goes to sleep, you just kind of ease over and pull that tinfoil back and just kind of wave it under his nose." She said, "I'm going to try that." So sure enough, next Sunday, she had a big old block. It smelled even with the tinfoil. Amen. You can smell it. Like, everybody's kind of looking around like, somebody didn't wash their feet. Something wrong. So he singing gets done. And she takes that tinfoil and pulls it back. And he goes, and looks around, kind of wakes up, and he's looking in, freaking, he's back to do. She put a little further over and pull some more. He looked up, and finally, third time he does it, she just shoved it right under his nose. He jumped up. He said, "Edith, would you get your feet out of my face?" Sometimes them things backfire on you, amen. Gotta be careful. Oh, Lord. Sometimes we get endued with more than power, amen? And while he blessed them, he was parted from them, the Bible says, and taken up and ascended to the Father, and they went back to Jerusalem. They fired up, man. It literally says that they had joy and excitement, praising and blessing God. Because you know what happened, right? They bummed out, man. They depressed. They crying and weeping. They don't know, well, our leader's dead. And then he walks through the wall. I wonder what would happen if Jesus walked through the wall right here tonight. Excuse me. That we're having church. You got to go. Hopefully that wouldn't happen. Amen. I don't want to be ugly, but I'm wondering how many folk would recognize Jesus. Wow. The better question is, would he recognize you? I tell people all the time, I'm kind of kidding. I said, I got a friend named Barry, and I told the sheriff the other day, I said, "Sheriff, I was talking to God about Barry. I said, Lord, please bless Barry." And God said, "Who?" That ain't funny if it's you, amen. I hope God knows me. I believe he does, amen. He talked to me several times. So we get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Take your Bible, turn there, which is where I want to go. Because I know you know all about the Easter story, resurrection story, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to get to not the thing that's been done. I want to get to the thing that's about to be done. And I want you to understand, my friend, if you don't take anything else out of here tonight, you need to take the story that Jesus is coming and he's on his way, and your friends need to get ready right now and not wait. Well, we know the story. Of course, if you've ever been to a funeral, probably you've heard this. It's amazing to me. They talk about this at funerals, and we don't hear about it much else anywhere else. But we talk about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And somebody told me last night, "Brother Rand, you talk so fast, my hearing aids can't keep up with you." So I'm going to try to slow down, amen, and take it easy and see if we can let y'all hear what I'm saying. Verse 13 says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if they believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with them those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord," not the church, not the preacher, not the convention, not Billy Graham, "but by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain." And I don't know if you've ever noticed that little phrase, "alive and remain." There's a key thing right there we're going to talk about in a minute. "Until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together, and that's where we get our word rapture. Rapture's not in the Bible, but caught up is the same thing. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, I mean, every time you see a therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for. Amen? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let me explain something to you. It's not a bad thing. It's not a, oh my goodness. It is a good news thing. Amen? We need to be comforting one another, but you got to make sure you're comforted. You need to make sure you're clear, you're good on this, you understand what's going to happen. And I know you've probably heard this before, but God just laid this thing on my heart because I was talking with someone a little while ago about people and their salvation. Lord Hammer, well, I've done some good things, I'm saved. Well, I've not killed anybody, I've heard that, I'm saved. Well, I've never beat my family, I'm saved. Well, the preacher prayed for me, I'm saved. Well, I had a feeling, I'm saved. I've been baptized, I'm saved. Folk, there is so much confusion about salvation, and people are walking around in a coma. Talk about the Walking Dead show. They could film that at church. The Walking Dead, they come in every Sunday morning, walking in and sitting down in the head bobbling. Amen? The situation first is this. Jesus has told Paul, make it very plain. Now, here's the problem. The Jews think they have missed it. They think something happened and it got by them, and oh my goodness, they way on down. They need to come back here where the Messiah was before they don't even realize that he was there. They're so confused, it's unbelievable. And they're still that way today. But, before you get too excited about them, understand, it is the plan of God. This is God's plan for God to show up and show out and do what he wants to do and for the whole wide world to see. Our God is an awesome God. You better know he is. And he got a plan. He got a purpose. He's got something going on, my friend. He wants folks to know. Come on, he could have just wiped this thing out and done away with it and done his own thing. But he decided to come up with a plan. He's cool, man. He got this thing. I'm going to show him something. Watch this. I'm going to show him something. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. And I don't want to get too haughty, okay? But, boy, I cannot wait until God shows some folks something. Now, I don't want you to take that the wrong way. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some folk that are so adamant against God and his word. And they are so sure of everything. And they know more than anybody knows. But one day God is going to show them. And it's going to be at a place called the Great White Throne. Let me give you a word. Don't be there. Because after that rapture we talked about a while ago, we're going to be at the judgment seat. You know what that is? That's the reward. Just before the banquet, before we eat, amen, amen. Can't be heaven unless we eat. And say, Nanner Pudding got to be there, amen. Come on. Some fried chicken, hello. It's a watermelon, I'm going to guarantee you. That's heaven, hello. It's got to be there. And so we're going to have to stand before God, and we're going to be judged according to our word. It's not really judge, but that's the word that the Bible uses to say, hey, you're going to be examined. You're going to get your crown or not. Does it skew me down to what now? yeah, you're going crown of righteousness, crown of life, crown of longing, and there's four or five of them. I can't remember all of them. But my friend, you're going to get rewarded with crowns in order to throw them back at the feet of Jesus Christ on that day. And if you don't have none, guess what? You're going to be over there watching. She has a crown. Because the Bible says the wood, hay, stubble work will be burned up. The gold, silver, diamond, that type of thing will last. It will last. And the question is, what kind of work do you have? What kind of work are you producing? We talked about fruit last night. Produce fruit. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Because that's going to turn into crown. So you got to understand, Paul begins to explain what will happen. These Jews are, oh, they've been out of shape. Oh, because he's trying to tell them, no. You crucified the Messiah. You didn't miss the second coming. You missed the first coming. Amen. You blew it. And what do they want to do? They won't kill him. Can I give you a word? Somebody might want to kill you. for telling them the truth. As sooner or later, and I know that we would sit here, no, sir, there ain't no way on God's green earth. But y'all, there are things happening today that 25 years ago I would have said, no way. No way. That is not going to happen. That is absurd. That is just common sense. That's not going to happen. It's happening. Now, you got to know, my friend, as I said yesterday, we have crossed a line. We are not going back. We're looking for the coming. Does that mean we stop working? No, we'll work till Jesus comes. Until then, keep doing. Keep working. Keep winning souls, my friend. Keep doing that which God has called us to do. Just continue to live that life that God told. You're not hiding in the bush somewhere. You should be out on the front lines. God has an army. They're somewhere. FBI can't find some of them. Come on. That's the way it is. So Paul begins to tell them what's going on. First he says in verse 13, he talks about the sleeping. He says, those who have died in Jesus Christ. Death term right there. Some people believe in soul sleep. That's not what that word is in the Greek. It is the word death. Those who have died in Christ. And understand, when I do a funeral, it's not a funeral. It's a funeral for lost folk. I don't always say that. But buddy, when it's a child of God, it is a celebration. I shout and I jump and I do just like I'm doing right now, and I have an invitation at the end, and I bet you I have never had but one funeral that somebody didn't get saved in the funeral. Amen. Now, I have some folk look at me cockeyed when I tell the family, listen, when I get to the end, I'm going to do an invitation. They're like, huh? Well, this is a funeral. No, it's not. This is a God thing. Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Y'all believe that? Yeah, okay. Well, hello. Come on. They folk going to be in that service. They ain't going to hear the gospel any other time. And you better present that gospel. You better talk about it, because that's when folk are thinking. Teenagers are thinking about it for a couple of weeks until they get past it, and then they move on. But and adults are thinking about it. Sometimes you talk about the fact, hey, if that person could land in this casket, could stand here and talk to us, what would they say? Boy, that gets folks' attention. Little kids, little children that die, that breaks people's hearts. I have won more people to Christ because of Casey Joy Lamb than any other time, because folk are brokenhearted about the death of children. And it ain't hurt them. They're with Jesus. They're fine. They're running around streets of gold, man. They're having a ball. And they just got there. And they probably ain't been there but a day according to the timetable of God. Our timetable ain't like his, amen? They just getting started. And some folk can't get over that. Let me tell you something. I tell folk, it's kind of like watching the ship go over the horizon. Folk are waving. Bah. On the other side, folk are going, hey, come on in the port. There's always a leaving and a coming. Amen? Come on. You left the house to come to church. In a few minutes, you're going to leave and go back. Come on. The Bible says we just going to change neighborhoods. I'm going to take my last breath on this earth, my first breath in heaven. I'm just going to walk through that door. You can't go to heaven with this mess. God don't want that. Now, he's going to snatch it up out the ground. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And he's going to change it, because he don't want this. It's got to be changed. And so you can't leave this planet with this and go to heaven. It has to be done. Has to. And for some of y'all, it's almost like a root canal, amen? A hemorrhoid surgery, I don't know, something. Like, I got to do it. No, man, come on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Don't just, that's a cool verse. No, it's the truth. It's the truth. So those that are sleeping, the Bible says, that have died in Christ. And then he talks about the setup in verse 15. Those who are alive at the rapture will have to wait for those that have already died in Christ, and their bodies are in the grave or wherever, whether it's burned or it's cremated or it's destroyed or it's in that grave, it's still back to the dust. It's going to come out of that ground. Amen. And that soul, that suke, is going to come with Jesus, and it's going to meet up, and it'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And that's what he talks about. He says, those who are alive and remain will have to wait for those bodies who are in the grave. And then there's a shout in verse 16. Now, you need to get a hold of something. Amen? There are going to be lots of sounds in heaven. Amen. A lot of shouting, a lot of horns tooting, people going crazy. Okay, and I know there'll be some Baptists over in the corner going, hey, y'all need to keep it down. We're trying to have church over here. What are y'all doing anyway? Oh, we're shouting around the throne. Oh, that. Now, I know folk that get plumb bent out of shape about shouting. Now, I know some churches, you say amen, 40 people turn around and look at you. What'd you say? Boy, that'll make you feel real welcome, amen? You go in and boy, start shouting and praising the Lord because God done something to you, and somebody looks at you like, what is your problem? I do that, I say, what is your problem? You need to come back here and sit by me, I'll show you something. I'll teach you how to shout and raise your hand. Watch this. You grab your wrist. Hold it up. Hey! When I was in school, if you knew the answer, you ever seen them folk on the side of the road, that blue thing going around on top of that car, and they got their hands up? They not praising the Lord, amen? I heard about the fella that got stopped by the trooper, and he walked up to the car, and he said, sir, can I see your license? He said, I ain't got one. He said, well, okay, can I see the registration? He said, I ain't got one either. He said, well, sir, whose car is this? He said, I don't know. He said, I stole it, and I cut the man up in pieces and put him in the trunk. Get out. Put your hands on the car. And he called for backup. Here come 40 cars, man. The colonel came up there, and he talked to the trooper, and then he went over and talked to the man. He said, sir, my trooper said that he stopped you, and he come up to your car, and he asked you for your license. You said you didn't have one. He said, yeah, I got one right here. He said, well, my trooper told me you didn't have no registration. He said, yes, sir, I got one right here. He said, my trooper said you stole his car and cut up a man in pieces and put him in the trunk. And that guy said, I bet you he told you I was speeding too, didn't he? Don't try that. It won't work. It won't work. Verse 16 says there'll be a shout. Now, I don't know what the shout is. It don't say what it'll be. I believe it'll be our name. I believe as a born-again child of God, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe that you can just take this to the bank and deposit it or not. That's okay. But I believe I'm going to hear my name. And I believe everybody that's lost is going to hear something. But they're not going to hear their name. Because what do you do when you hear your name? You ever been in the store, somebody says your name, you go, hey, what? You ever waved at somebody in the store and it wasn't them? And then you try to hide, and every time you turn the corner, there they are. And the little girl says, hey, Mom, there's that weird man that was waving at you. let me tell you something, my eyes are getting bad. I wave at her, hey, Mary. That ain't Mary. Sure did look like Mary. Have a good day. I head out the door, amen, go to the other store. I'm going to see her everywhere. The shout, loud, it'll be clear. If you got hearing aid problems, trust me, you'll hear this. You won't have no problem. And here's the thing. I've always wondered, what will I be doing? Every time I'm doing something I ain't supposed to be doing, I'm wondering, uh-oh. Well, that's a good way to stop doing it, amen? What if Jesus come right now? What if you on the phone talking about Gertrude?